Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And only on the 21st of March.
Yeah, we created our own technical difficulties today. I like that, because we like to work under a challenge.
We always do, don't we?
How you doing, Michael? Good to
see
you.
I'm good. I got here. Hey, here.
Didn't I tell you no more rain?
No more rain.
Yeah,
After this storm that we're looking at right now.
I'm going to wash away, man. I can't take it.
I know. But you know what? We need it so badly. We're out of the drought, but you know, let's not take that for all it's worth.
That's right.
Soon enough, we'll be in another one.
That's right. But if my house washes away, I'm coming to your doorstep. You understand that, right?
Yes, I do.
Be living with you and the puppies.
Yes,
Michael, as you said, here we are on a rainy March 21st, and spring has officially sprung on the calendar, although it may not look that way here in Sherman Oaks. As we look forward to the new spring season, we can also look forward to some truly exciting theater here in the Southland.
Indeed, Andrew.
Lots of good stuff going on here.
Yeah. And with us in studio today, ladies and gentlemen, we have two members of the very talented cast of the world premiere comedy Attack of the Second Bananas. On stage now through March 31st at the Zephyr Theater, please welcome Adam Huss and Tim McKernan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Generous. That lobby holds a lot of people, doesn't it?
Hey, we got nothing but the state-of-the-art facilities here at State of the Arts, right?
That's right.
Michael, obviously, we'll talk more with our guest here in just a moment. But before we do that, we should go ahead and thank our sponsors.
Yes, we should. We would like to thank our sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises, for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win, and you can do that by listening to this network, LA Talk Radio, and go directly to State of the Arts on Channel 2 and look at our page, our archival page, and there you will see a Princess logo. Click on that. It takes maybe a few seconds to sign up for it, and you can do it as many times as you like.
That's
just
right.
Do it, because can you imagine? This is a $5,000 gift.
That's a pretty good
Princess.
Deal. Yeah. Pretty good. Obviously, they're great supporters of the arts, and if anybody needs a little help doing that, you can just go to our Instagram page. That's State of the Arts LA, and you'll find the link in the bio to go ahead and go to our page where you'll see the Princess Cruises logo under Michael's handsome face.
Yeah.
You're also going to see two other handsome dudes on there today. I just posted a picture up of Tim and of Adam there. So if you want to see who we're talking to today, go take a look and pair up the voices with the faces and get a glimpse there of what's going on at State of the Arts. We'd, of course, also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. And as always, we encourage you to check out one of the best photographers in Los Angeles, Carrie Ann Francis at cafrancisphoto.com.
Yes.
Lots of good people making everything possible today,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. If she can make us look good, you know she's good,
you know
right?
She's talented. That's right. She'll get you work. She's good at what she does.
Well, we are so privileged to have these amazing resources for the arts, and it's a pleasure to talk about them and hopefully drive traffic their way.
That's right.
So, I haven't seen you for about a week, so just give me the lowdown of what's been going on with you and your family. And
I finished a film called Sometimes We Sleep, and then I went to another, which was a short film called The Interview, by a new writer, Emily Roche, who's amazing, great, great, talented artist. And
now, were you acting in these films?
One I was doing the fight choreography for, the other I was playing the lead in it. So, yeah, it was the short was easy. It was a fun one-day shoot.
Right.
But this was a really great group of people. In fact, the AD, I mean, the crew was small. It was a tiny crew, but at the same time, the AD was doing
tiny
second.
In height?
they could all fit through the door. Oh, it was okay, yeah. Okay. No, it was a small number of crew, and their philosophy is, you know, keep costs down and you can keep making films,
right.
Which is cool in this town, because so many times you film 3 days on something and they're like, yeah, we lost all our money. We need to go back and wait for 6 months while we go pursue more funding or whatever. So it's cool to see that these people are, you know, respecting the business model and keeping work going and, you know, supplying work for people like me who so desperately need it, because my children like to eat like every day, which I thought was kind of tacky.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, what are they? You know, come on. But it was interesting because I finished the interview and I left there feeling very satisfied, because in Los Angeles, we have such resources. We shot overlooking a beautiful vista, and it was all very nice, and that was just a good feeling to see how many great things there are in Los Angeles.
Now, aren't you directing something as well?
Yeah, in fact, later this month, I'm directing a film called 321 up in San Francisco, which is a very exciting opportunity, and a lot of good stuff there, too. So,
an independent film?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I started as their fight choreographer, and they eventually offered me the job as director, I guess because they were very, very hard up, so it all worked out well for me.
Or they were afraid if they didn't, you would beat them up.
They do have my sword, so maybe they were looking at those. Who knows? Michael, how about you? What'd you do? Go see any theater this week?
I did not go see any theater, but I will be seeing theater this week.
Wow.
The Elephant Man, which is premiering on Friday at the El Portal Theater in a brand new production of it. Have you ever seen it before?
No.
No?
I have not.
Great
movie?
Piece.
Movie, yes.
Movie, yes. I have not seen it before. Did see not the movie either. Stage. So I'm really looking forward to it. We had the stars.
They were fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, one of my
ago.
First professional jobs was Frederick Treves.
Right.
So I love the piece. But more than that, I love that, you know, it's classic theater being done in a modern setting. I think that's fantastic.
And the stars that we had from The Elephant Man a couple of weeks ago were wonderful and lovely people.
Yeah.
Yes, they were. They've been writing me back and forth. And so are you able to go to that?
I'm going to try to make it. I'm not sure if I will or not. But, yeah, looks like a great production.
And then on Monday, I'm going to a special screening of Dumbo.
Hey.
Lucky.
Which
you
I'm so excited
Is
about.
That one at Disney Studios?
It is not. It's at the El Capitan.
Wow.
And they are
that's a great place
a special private screening there.
My daughter's favorite place to go is the El Capitan. They really do entertainment right there, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
That's
yes,
fantastic.
They do. And there's other stuff coming up. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
At the Pantages.
Up, the Pantages.
That's right.
We're both going to that, I think. Right?
I'm actually not going to be able to make that one.
Really?
I may have to try to get there later. My son definitely wants to see it. You know, I took my little girl down.
Yeah, yeah.
She was my date for me when we went to go see Cats. And she wore her kitty cat ears and was very, very excited. And my boy says, well, then can I go see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I said, well, I'm out of town for that, but we'll see if we can see if we can make that work. So we'll see. But that should be a great production. The Pantages has a great season this year, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
They
no
do.
Doubt about
Very
it.
Very diverse.
No doubt about it. Well, obviously, on this rainy day, there's lots of people out there cruising around. We hope you have State of the Arts on your iPod as you're walking on the treadmill or something. And we know that you'll enjoy meeting our first guest. He is a great friend of State of the Arts, and we are very happy to have him back with us today.
Theater credits include Naked Will, The Portrait of Mr. W.H., and the world premiere musical Just in Love, which is When I Met This Man. Both at the Celebration Theater. He was also part of the lead ensemble in The Men from the Boys at the Fountain Theater and starred in The ID and Bob at the Lillian Theater. On television, he was a series regular on the Starz Network hit TV show Power, where he played Josh Kantos.
Guest starring credits include roles on NBC Ironside, NCIS, NCIS LA, CSINY, and Las Vegas. He also played leading roles in two Lifetime movies. He most recently played the lead in the dramatic thriller Painkillers, as well as the upcoming Ernesto Manifesto, and Still Waiting. He is also developing and plans to star in the elevated horror love story, Let It Kill You.
We're so happy to have him here with us again today, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about his current role as the detective in Attack of the Second Bananas on stage at the Zephyr Theater through March 31st. Please welcome, once again, Adam Huss.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Adam, I hear you're delivering a big dose of potassium to us all with this show, yeah?
Yes.
You leave feeling energized and great. This sounds like a fun concept. Obviously, this show's a comedy, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd you get involved with it?
Well, you know, like Michael just mentioned, I did Justin Love, and Gina Torresilla, who wrote
Attack of the Second Menizon is the producer on it. She was she starred in Just in Love with me. She played Mary Price, which was like a knockoff of an Entertainment Tonight reporter, and she was always giving the gossip out. And I fell in love with her then, and we've stayed in touch as friends. And she mentioned she was doing this, and I auditioned. And Ryan Bergman was directing, who was our assistant director on Just in Love.
Cool.
And yeah, and I auditioned like anyone else, and I got it.
So, fantastic.
It all came together.
Yeah. You auditioned better than anyone else.
I auditioned better than anyone, everyone else.
And you got it.
I got it. I originally tried out for your role. No, I was kidding.
Fantastic.
No, no one could do the role that this man does.
Well, so let's talk about your experience going back to New York and shooting this TV series that you did.
Yeah, because that came after Just in Love, so
yes.
I think I haven't talked to you since then on here about that.
I haven't seen you since then.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience to go back, mainly because my whole family is there. So that was great to go and be part of every, like, birthday and anniversary, which I realize is every weekend in my family because my dad has 8 brothers and sisters. But on top of that, I was working, and I was working in the city and living in Brooklyn, and it was amazing, really. What a great opportunity. I also realized a lot of things there that, like, it is just an opportunity, and you're still proving yourself, and you're still working hard, and you know, you think you're going to get this big gig and you make it, and that's not how it goes. You still have to do a lot of hard work. And what I learned most was let go of the outcome of, is the show going to pick up? Are people going to watch it? Or, you know, because a lot of that became almost some of my focus sometimes, and you have to just let go of that and just take the ride, and hopefully you're there, hopefully you're not.
So when that comes up in the process of doing a TV series and you're done with your first season,
yeah,
you're just kind of obsessed with, are you coming back?
Or, yeah, you just, you have no clue.
Are they coming back without you? And all of those kinds of
all
things.
Of those kind of, all of those kind of things cross your mind. And you spent, you know, I came back here for a couple months, you know, and you do press and you do all those other things, so you're busy, but you're trying to figure out while you're here, like you said, do I have a job in a couple months? Am I supposed to audition? What do I do? And you do indie films, you do whatever you can in the meantime. But it was interesting to navigate, really. And then I have a fiance and a dog, and they didn't come with me the first season. So then second season, I did get picked up to go back as a series regular, and I wanted to bring them. So
yeah.
I brought them with me, and that was a whole other thing to navigate. How are we going to figure out where we live?
That is tough.
And,
yep.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was all wonderful, and you figure it all out as you go, but it's interesting. It's very interesting. You just got to stay grateful and focused.
Yep.
Which I didn't always stay focused, but I tried.
But you also participate as a producer of films, right?
Yeah. Well, that's something that I dabble in. I'll help a couple people because I've met a lot of people along the way. So I'll try to put together, if someone's putting together a film, I'll try to put them together with some actors or DP or whatever, so they'll give me a producer credit. I produced a movie called Find Me with 2 girlfriends of mine. I was an associate producer on that.
Oh, my goodness.
We're getting calls here on State of the Arts.
Somebody wants me to produce it
Adam's
already.
Fans are calling. They're saying, listen, I've got some comments about the second season I want to talk to you about. So.
Maybe they do. They're very vocal.
Hollywood's calling.
That's right. They're always ringing up these days. They listen to State of the Arts, every single person in Hollywood. Adam,
goodness.
You got to tell me a little bit about the plot of the show.
Yes.
And kind of, you know, what your role is. You called it Clue Come to Life. Is that right?
I did.
One of my favorites. I love that.
Yeah, I did say that. I mean, it basically we open up on a theater, and everyone as they walk into the theater, they're in the experience. So it's a very immersive.
Yes.
and you walk in and you see, I'm not blowing anything by saying this, but I can say this is 2 bodies that are,
well, you already said it,
with a sheet. But that's, you walk in and see that before you sit down, and then we go into this. Then we open up on who done it, who killed the 2 showgirls, Ruby and Andrea. I mean, that's the plot.
Is,
you can read that online.
So, yes,
you know, when you buy the tickets, it says that's the plot. Who killed Ruby and Andrea? So that's the whole story. And then the detective along the way, played by me, meets all this cast of characters. An agent, a manager, their dresser, played by this gentleman here.
Very nice.
Yeah, and so then slowly the story unravels of who done it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
And does it get figured out within the content of the play, or does the audience have something to do with that?
Oh, well, yeah, it's always the same outcome. Right. So that's, if you're asking that. And it gets, you it gets figured out each little, it's all one act, but each little bit that you see and experience, because you go back and see flashbacks of what happened, and you slowly learn about little, oh, wait a minute, this thing came into play here, so who maybe right. It's this person. So I think the whole time what I've heard from people who've come to see it is that they were really engaged, because they kept trying to, oh, I better pay attention, or I'm gonna figure out why this whoever right. did
oh,
it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. Yeah,
very cool. Very cool.
Very stylized, not unlike Justin Love, right?
Yeah, it's similarities. Yeah. There's a lot of fun Hollywood ribbing going on, you know, the ins and outs of things. It's fun.
It sounds great. I think I need to go.
No doubt.
They should extend it. Are you doing well?
Yeah, I think we're doing well, and we're figuring out if that's going to happen. So we might be extended.
You're listening to Adam Huss as he talks about one of the shows that is on right now at the Zephyr Theater, located at 7456 Melrose Avenue in West Hollywood. The name of the show is Attack of the Second Bananas. It's a kind of a killer comedy, is what they say, a comedy killer, which I think is fun. So it's kind of a mystery and a comedy. People leave feeling good from the show, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a fun show.
There's so many talented people in the cast who play the other characters, like the agent, the manager, the dresser. And and Ruby and Andrea, they're so funny, and they're so out there and big and great, and they really run away with these roles, and it's so much fun. And as the detective, I sit back and watch them a lot, because that's the way the flashbacks work, and I get to watch every night, and I just like, I have to keep myself from smiling because I'm supposed to be taking notes, and I'm just like, they're just so great.
Very cool. Well, the easiest way to get tickets is www.brownpapertickets.com. We know those are great people over there, obviously. Right, Michael?
They are indeed. And you can call them 24/7 and have a conversation with the nicest customer service people in the business. And that number would be 800-838-3006. Zephyr Theater, as Andrew said, is located in West Hollywood on Melrose Avenue, 7456 Melrose Avenue. And the schedule is Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 3 p.m. through March 31st.
That's right.
And there is a half-price code going on as well.
All right. That's always good to know.
And the code is basically every first letter of the name of the show. So it's AOTSB.
Cool.
Back of the second
nice little acronym there. That's great. A-O-T-S-B. This is obviously, I'm looking here at this great press release by Meander Productions. We've gotten here with all the great information on Attack of the Second Bananas, and it reminded me of an event that's going on at the Zephyr Theater tonight. One of our friends of a friend, Steve Mason from ESPN, is hosting I think it's a sports agent's reading of the worst press releases ever sent out in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Which I think is funny. And they've hired actors to do dramatic readings of these terrible press releases. So
that's
if you're down
amazing.
Near the Zephyr Theater, maybe see if you can check that out. I'm not sure if it's open to the public, but that cracked me up. I thought that was funny. I think every theater should do that. Get the best actors you can to read the worst press releases. It's a great concept.
That's what goes on there when we're not there.
It's a very interesting idea. It's similar, though, to that celebrity readings of...
Yeah. Bad tweets.
That's right.
Well, no, there may be that too, but
they do that,
celebrity readings from passages of books
reviews?
Written by celebrities.
Oh, interesting.
About their lives.
Oh, that's funny.
No, that is funny.
It's interesting too. Steve Mason, who's hosting this or moderating it, I guess, is a friend of Sound of the Ghost, a great group that we've sponsored here on the show a number of times. So lots of connections in the world out there, and that sounds like a fun event if anybody's able to get in. I don't know if it's open to the public, but I'm doing that next time I'm ADing at a theater or something. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to put in one of those a week, because how many bad press releases do we get? And it's like they're almost incoherent. So when you see a good one like this one I have here in front of me, it's nice to see. It certainly condenses the show and helps you find a way to get tickets. Again, you can go to Brown Paper Tickets and type in Attack of the Second Bananas, and this show will come up real easily.
That's right. And do it soon. And, you know, we have a kind of a motto here at State of the Arts. We ask you to put down the remote from your television set and pick up the children and take them out to the theater, especially the kids.
That's right.
Take them out to the theater because they need to be, in that ambiance, and for their little selves to understand something that's creative. And maybe some of your children have hard times, you know, being themselves. So theater certainly is a great resource to have them kind of come out and know that they can be somebody else.
And artists have the goal, I mean, should have the goal of perpetuating the arts to the next generation.
Exactly.
That's important.
Love that.
Adam, can you tell me a little bit about this show as far as if it's appropriate for children, kind of age recommendation, that sort of thing? Is this a family show?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that would, I mean, my friend was, his family was visiting and his 17-year-old sister came. So I think 15
teenage
and up
above.
Is,
cool.
Yeah, is appropriate for it. And they are they're from the Midwest. They don't have anything to do with Hollywood. They're very conservative. They loved it.
Cool.
They were like standing there with like huge smiles. Because I thought about it a couple of times, like, oh my God, his mother's here and his little sister. And they just loved it. They thought
That's
they
great.
Had such a great time.
Well, now, what did you like about working at the Zephyr Theater? That's a fun space.
Yeah, it's such a fun space. You know, I've seen it for so many years, and I've never worked there. I love it. It's just, you're right in that area of Melrose. Everything's, you know, hopping. And I love the space. It's such an intimate little, when I'm in there, I just feel like, again, when I sit back and watch everything going on, we have this great red curtain, this great set. You just feel like you're in that world, you know? So it really speaks to the shows. Set and design, right, and the way it's set up, it's perfect for it.
Is there the hope, I would imagine there is, that the show will be taken somewhere else and eventually get to New York, perhaps as an off-Broadway show?
Oh, you know, I can't speak for what Gina's plan is for it, but I'm sure she would love that.
She's not going to say no.
I think it would play really well in New York.
It would.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
And we need more comedies out there. Good comedies are a great thing, especially with that fun mystery element, too. That's
a
great thing.
Yeah.
If you've seen the movie Clue, that's obviously a fun version of, you know, that same sort of thing. And I think on stage it's even more palpable because you're traveling through this mystery with the performers, which is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
So. Well, now we need to jump and do a live arts calendar here in a minute. But, Michael,
yeah,
I wanted to take just a second.
Yeah.
We lost an editor today, who I'd worked with a number of times. He actually passed a couple days ago. Norman Holland. He was an editor on Sophie's Choice as well as on The Heathers, and I worked with him a few times, and I heard the sad news just yesterday. But he was truly one of the most enjoyable people to work with. He strove to make actors look good, which was a really cool way to look at his job. You know, he kind of felt like if he could make the actors look good, then the film was going to work. And I had such a great respect for him. He was 66 years old, passed away, and obviously if you type him in, he was a member of all the unions. There's a lot of tributes to him going up. But Norman Holland, also a great teacher at UCLA, so a sad loss there.
Well, God bless him.
Wanted to extend our sympathies, yeah.
And his family is handling it okay?
I think so. I didn't speak with them directly. I heard through the people that I'd worked with, but he certainly had a community of people who loved him, so I would assume that they're all reaching out today, no doubt.
Gotta love an editor because, as you said, they are the ones that make you look good,
and
the whole film come together. Without
he was
them,
a light.
You have nothing, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And
that's
you realize
very
how hard
true.
Editing is. That's true. Color correction blew my mind. I was sitting in there for one of these films I was doing the fights on, and watching the people do the color correction, I mean, it's unbelievable how minutia that is, and you sit there and you watch it and you just think it takes a different eye than what I have. It was cool to see. So, well, on to our live arts calendar. 50 Words. Mackley Jones Productions presents 50 Words, an LA premiere of Michael Weller's play about marriages in crisis.
Adam and Jan are alone together for the first time in almost 10 years without the buffer of their 9-year-old son, who was away at his first ever sleepover. This smoothly scripted, multi-layered play reveals how closely love and hate can be linked in a marriage.
With each problem experienced as parents, each subsequent layer that's revealed shows yet another problem in their marriage. The play is an incisive, close-up, and emotional battleground view of the contemporary relationships and the lengths to which the couple will go to save it.
50 Words is on stage now through April 7th at the Lounge Theater in Hollywood. For tickets or more information, call 800-838-3006. That, of course, is Brown Paper Tickets. Or visit 50words.brownpapertickets.com.
That's right. And obviously, if you go to Performing Arts Live, one of our great sponsors, you'll find all the info about that show and so many other great, great things going on in Los Angeles, such as Attack of the Second Bananas, the show we're talking about here today, which is live at the Zephyr Theater from now through March 31st in West Hollywood. Shall we go ahead and bring this fine gentleman in sitting to my right?
I think we should.
He has been so patient.
Oh, wow.
I like it when they don't talk during the other's interview, when they're nice and calm.
They're such good boys.
They are. These are restrained actors. I like that. I like that.
I really could use his help a couple times, too.
You're doing great. I would have stepped in had I thought you needed him.
You know, like Tom Holland from like Marvel, he plays Spider-Man. He always spoils things. So they always have him with another actor to stop him from saying.
That is a pensive feeling as an actor. You're like, wait, can I say this? Because you want to want to sell the show, right? That's funny.
Of course.
I was ready.
You're going to be his buzzer. Don't say that. Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from Michigan, our next guest is an actor, writer, and a voiceover artist with a BFA in acting from University of Detroit. He has also studied at the Upright Citizens Brigade and is a graduate of the Groundlings Improv and Writing Schools. Some of theatrical credits include Drawer Boy, a great, great show, Visiting Mr. Green, Caution, Children at Play, and Cactus Flower.
Now, wait a minute. You said Drawer Boy?
Drawer Boy.
The Drawer.
The Drawer Boy.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think you're putting a little accent in.
You don't like that Kentucky accent?
I do like it.
Drawer Boy was first put up at the Colony Theater. I believe its West Coast premiere was at the Colony Theater like 20 years ago. A great piece.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that's Drawer, mm-hmm. Drawer Boy, yeah.
I would say so.
Great piece.
Select television credits include Transparent, Backhouse, Betch, and Awesomeness TV. He is currently writing a book of essays titled Here, Kidney, Kidney, My Life in Nine Lives, Seven Down, Two to Go. He joins us today to talk about his Zephyr Theater debut role of Dylan in Attack of the Second Bananas. Please give a warm welcome to the one and only Tim McKernan. Yes, sir.
Wow.
They have been waiting.
What an awesome.
That's incredible.
See, we get them warmed up for you. Adam, get them warmed up.
That's right.
So, there you go.
So I've got the question of the day here. What's it like to work with Adam Huss?
The real
That's right. Yeah, tell us something that he didn't tell us during his interview.
A struggle.
I could tell.
You never know what you're going to get. No.
You guys don't seem to get along at all.
No, not at all. Well, Adam is fantastic. Just even through the rehearsal process and the show itself, he's just very gracious on stage. He has the toughest job as the detective because he has to keep the story moving. As he said, it jumps back and forth in time. So I really rely on him.
I'm looking at him because he also has a very tough job because he... I can't say that.
Adam just censored himself again.
Just have to come see it.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, no,
you'll
but
see
it's,
why.
He's fantastic. All the actors in the show are great.
yes.
I feel very fortunate and very lucky to be with all of them. Everyone's just like a kind, good person. And
there
so
ain't
funny.
A bad banana in the bunch.
I like it.
Oh, man.
Wow. Would you say they're all very appealing?
Yes, thank you.
I was just waiting.
Dad joke.
That's right.
Yeah. That's for my niece.
See, that's what I have to put up with. Backstage.
There's only us in the dressing room, so you can imagine.
And that is a slippery slope. There's no
Oh, yes, yes. Sure.
I wanted to ask you, Tim, obviously, coming from Michigan, you said you came out here in 2005, right?
2004.
2004. What were your first impressions of Hollywood when you landed from the Midwest?
It's interesting. I'm sure many people here have the same experience or a similar experience. Growing up in the Midwest, you know, Hollywood is not a tangible place. You see it in TV, you see it in movies. And as a kid who loved both those things, I somehow always knew from a young age, like, that's where I'm going to be. Mm. And I had come out to visit prior to moving out here, and it just felt right.
Cool.
That's not to say that it hasn't always been easy and simple. I mean, it takes a while to like find your footing and your people.
Sure.
But it just felt right in terms of like, this is the path that I want to pursue. Hmm. It's hard to believe it's this June will be 15 years.
Wow. So did you find your people?
I did.
Yeah?
I did. I paid them handsomely to hang out with me. No, I did. I a lot of that was through, you know, an improv and sketch comedy world. Once I got really involved in that is where I felt like, I feel like I've met my, like, good best friends.
Obviously, Upright Citizens Brigade is a greatly well-respected organization. I didn't know they had a writer's school as well.
Well, I did writers at Groundlings.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
okay.
So I did
very
their cool. improv and writing path at
Fantastic.
Groundlings. Yeah.
That must have been an unbelievably strange experience, too, when you're improvising one time and then you're going with the structure of writing and creating the specific words in another. That's two sides of a coin.
Yeah, the way they it's a fantastic school. Here's a plug. I mean, it's great. But
that's good. I can hashtag them. We're in good shape.
Yeah, there we go. They're fantastic. I had such a great experience there and still work with a lot of people that I met there.
Cool.
But the way their school starts is improv training and then going into a writing training. So it is a shift when you're used to like improvising, but it's so fun, and it's just you have to dive a little bit deeper into yourself and challenge yourself. It's incredible. It's made me, I think improv has made me a better actor, a better writer, a better performer. So a better auditioner.
Makes you a better parent. Not something you think of, but I daily use my improv training when my munchkins are running around and asking crazy questions. The other day, my little boy says, "Daddy, can you tell me a joke?" And so I start running through the jokes. The one I came up with, what do you call a pirate with two arms and two legs?
What?
A rookie. But he goes, no, Daddy, one that you make up. So I had to start going through A side, B side of jokes and see if I could come up with it. I think I came up with a shoe joke or something that involved heels or soles or something like that. And he laughed, but I thought, man, that's all improv. Like, that's all the improv stuff. It's like, how can you make the logical connections back and forth? Little did they know they were training parents out of their improv schools.
Well, kids also reach that age where they don't want to hear the same thing again.
Boy, and they're sponges, man. They remember everything you've told them. You try to give them another one, they're like, nope, something new, Daddy, something new. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, do you have young ones yourself?
I don't.
So here's the thing that I learned as an improv actor and a father. You start getting that same heat that you feel when you're in improv. Like when the lights go on, you're like, okay, now I have to be in show mode. Whenever your kids walk through the door, it's like, all right, how am I going to entertain these little ones here? Let's see what's going on. Yeah. It's funny. It's an interesting connection.
Yeah.
Well, your son, Caleb, is an amazing child. He's a very old soul, and seriously. And we had John Walker, the producer of The Incredibles, who won the Oscar for that film. With us about 6 weeks ago, he and his wife, and they're doing a play. They've gone back after, what was it, 40 years?
It was 40 years off.
Wow. Yeah. From being away from the stage as actors, and they're doing a play, and he had The Incredibles 2 that he had just finished. And Caleb came, Andrew brought him, because that film is his son's favorite film. So you should have seen this little boy. How old?
Eight.
Eight. Mm. How he how he positioned himself with John Walker.
He loved it.
He was like interviewing him, and
amazing.
And asking him, well, why didn't you do this in the film? And when is that character coming back? Because it doesn't make sense to me. All of this.
I had to ground him when I got home, though, because he put me out of a job. And Michael's like, I'll bet he'll work cheaper than Drew. So he loved it. But more than anything, I think kids are naturally inquisitive, which is such a fun thing to watch, you know, as they kind of soak it up a little bit. Tell me about your improv training a little bit and how it helps you in a scripted play like this.
Yeah, for sure. It helps me as an actor to commit. So in a rehearsal process where you're trying different things and some things work and some things don't, the bottom line is for either something that does work or doesn't, like, just commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, the director will steer you in the right direction. We had Ryan Bergman's a fantastic director.
Yeah.
He has such clear vision and also allows you the freedom to find that within yourself.
Which is very important.
It's
for
very
a director
important
to do. Not it's all so of them
supportive.
Do that.
Yeah. So supportive, so consistent, and knows how to talk to each individual actor to get the performance that he wants out of them.
Yeah, without ever raising his voice if he can't can't get through to them, or he's just amazing.
Well, it's also that he's really good about trusting. The actors that he directs are chosen for a reason. They have that part for a reason, and he trusts them. They might not get it on day one or day two, or might struggle with certain parts, as I certainly did, and I think most every actor does at some point throughout the rehearsal process. But he never says you're doing it wrong. He just reinforces his vision. And I think, taking it back to your question, improv has really helped that, because you learn to commit to something. If it doesn't work, you just move on. You don't have to beat yourself up over it. You'll find it. Just trust in the work.
That's one thing I will say in the rehearsal process, watching Tim, and as you'll see in the show why he had to do this in the rehearsal process, but try all these different things in these different scenarios. And there was no ego about it. One time he was on the floor doing this sort of, they called it Bambi, a snake on ice. I can't even explain what he was doing, because he had to do this very outlandish thing. And he just went for this crazy, weird thing. And Ryan was like, okay, that's not working. But it was just, there was no shame or embarrassment because it was so funny. And,
yeah.
And just that was it. There was no ego there.
He's sometimes you find what doesn't humble... work teaches you more than what does.
Yeah.
You
know, that's, and if you can get rid of that ego, then then you're so open and free in your choices. And it's something I'm always working on. And just to watch that in Tim was so inspiring. Like, he didn't care what he had to do.
Well, thank you. And it's just that thing of, like, I had to do something very physical.
Right.
And in order to find the right tone of it, I just had to go way out of it. I just really went for it. Yeah, it was like Bambi.
What did she call it? Bambi Snake on Ice. I don't know. It's
something. Like,
name of your one-man show coming up, right?
Bambi Snake on Ice.
Maybe and I have the place for him to do it.
That's right. That's right. You take
Bambi
that up to Sterling's.
Bambi Sloth. That's what it was.
Bambi Sloth.
A question for you. Did you always know that you wanted to be an actor? Were you an outspoken kid?
Up until Bambi Sloth, he did. Then he changed his mind drastically.
I know. Then I wanted to be a mime.
That's right.
I did.
That's scary.
I actually started college as a pre-med student, even knowing I find medicine fascinating, but it's not what I wanted to do. But I think coming from the Midwest where, you know, there's practical things, like you go to college, you do this, you get that job, you move up, where, you know, when you go into the arts, there's no set path. So it was very foreign to me. But I quickly learned in the first year of pre-med and 8 a.m. classes 5 days a week that I need to change my life. I need to be an actor. Yeah. So I was at a school in Ohio for pre-med, then moved to Michigan, where I'm from, and then finished college there.
And you get to sleep late when you're an actor.
That's so great.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. Yeah.
No, well, money, but you know.
The professors don't want to be there early. No,
that's
know?
Right. That's so true.
Yeah.
Adam, what about you?
What?
Did you always know?
Oh, did I always know? Yeah, I did always know. As a kid, I would get my cousin. Again, I had this huge family. You know, my dad had 8 brothers and sisters. So I would, whatever I'd watch or read or whatever, I would write scripts out. And then I'd bring them to the family party and be like, okay, you're playing this person, you're playing this person. And even if it wasn't the right, like...
Precocious.
Really? And even if it wasn't the right, like, sex for the part, I'm like, it's okay, he's a boy in this one. Just play this. And oh, she's a boy in this one. You know, and I loved it. I loved getting my cousins together and doing that. And I did it every family party. Anytime there was someone over for dinner, I was putting on some kind of show.
That's great. Well, the name of the show we're talking about today is Attack of the Second Bananas. It's on stage now at the Zephyr Theater in West Hollywood.
And that is through March 31st. And tickets are available by going to brownpapertickets.com or by calling Brown Paper Tickets 24/7. And they're the nicest people in the world to talk to. 800-838-3006 at the Zephyr Theater. 7456 Melrose Avenue in the city of West Hollywood.
That's right. And they have a standard running schedule there Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 3 p.m., all the way through the 31st. General admission tickets start at $40. So
there
feel free to jump in there and get those soon.
Obviously,
we'd encourage you guys to go check us out on our Instagram page and our Facebook page, State of the Arts LA. You can check out these two gentlemen there as well. Guys, where can people find out more about you? Tim, do you have a social media phone?
I'm just covered in social media.
As we all are. It's dripping off
of
us.
Instagram, Twitter, the Tim McKernan. That's where I'm at.
Are there a lot of other Tim McKernans?
Well, okay, I'm glad you asked that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there aren't a lot, but they're prominent.
Do you know who one of them is?
Yes.
I grew up watching him at Bronco games.
Yeah, Barrel Man, Tim McKernan.
Wow. When Michael sent me the booking for today, I thought, no, there's no way. Man, I love that dude.
I know.
And then I saw you, and I realized you have talent and ability, and I was somehow disappointed. I was like, but he's not going to be wearing a barrel. There's just no chance for me now
my
Bronco.
If your listeners go online and Google Barrel Man, Tim McKernan, we look very much alike.
Kind of, too. He's a lot older than you are, though, I should say.
And the other one is a male paired figure skater.
Wow. Also not you.
Also not me. But I will say this. When I first moved out here and had started to get my IMDb credits, as everyone, that's what they want, mm-hmm. I somehow got merged
with
this male figure skater, Tim McKernan. And so it was like, friends, yep. I would go to like auditions and casting people would be like, so you figure skate? It's like, no, I'm having a really hard time.
That's when you
separating.
Just own it. You say, yes, I do. They're never going to ask, right? They're never going to be like, come figure skate for this role. You just say, yep, and you keep rolling with it.
I just, you know.
Well, there's actually another Adam Huss. He's a writer.
Really?
And yeah, and he actually now works for SAG-AFTRA Fund.
Oh, really?
And last year I had a back surgery, and I went, and they were helping me out, and I went in there to meet them. And they're great, by the way. SAG-AFTRA Fund, if you ever get hurt or anything, they're so great at helping you guys out. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was interviewing me, he goes, I was at the end of the interview, he goes, I just have to tell you, can you please meet my boss? His name is Adam Huss as
well.
Oh,
that's funny.
And I said, Adam Huss, the writer? He goes, yes.
Wow.
I've been wanting to meet him. And he came in. He's been wanting to meet me. We always get mixed up at the gym, at wherever the heck we are.
I can take a guess about your last name, Tim, but what's the origins of Huss? What nationalities?
It's my dad's name. It is my real name. And it's a German, Irish, Dutch.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know really where. It's a mix of things. But
that's
my
cool.
grandpa was primarily German.
Not Dutch. One you'd think there'd be a lot of others out there. It's an unusual name.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
We must be related. And he told me there's another Adam Huss, but that's a historical figure. But that's another.
That's great. And what is your Instagram handle that people can find you at, Adam?
It's at Adam T. Huss.
Cool.
And do you Twitter and as well?
I do. I kind of like it's. I'll throw things from Instagram into Twitter. I try to not be on them all the time.
Yeah.
I like Twitter. It's great. But yeah. And I do have a website. It's at AdamHussOfficial.com, mm-hmm. and I update that a lot with things that are going on, so you can check that out.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Because I have all those accounts, but I have so little time to devote to them that I can't do it every day.
Yeah, and sometimes it could be like a thing where you're getting stuck on. So I took the Twitter off my phone just so I could be on Instagram and throw them to Twitter and mm-hmm. go on one thing.
Throw them to Twitter?
Yeah. You know,
what
you,
is
could,
that? You could, share through
you could
Twitter.
Post something and then share to Facebook and Twitter.
I see.
So it looks like you're still...
One touch social media.
People that are really good at social media fascinate me.
Do you know?
It's like a full time job.
Yeah.
They said the largest career that people put in on their taxes is social media influencer. That's the largest rising career right now.
Yeah, I bet.
Can you imagine?
I bet. Because if you have over a certain number, and it's not that many, 50,000 or something, they come to you to promote products.
Yeah.
So a lot of my friends do it. Or friends, people, acquaintances I know, but they really have no other life. They have to constantly be, okay, so this week I have to promote this and put up this.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
Well, there's, they get paid for that, right?
They do. Yeah.
Speaking of those kinds of people, when we have guests in from, very big shows in town, frequently the social media person will be sitting over there in that corner just... going full speed.
They're dedicated, man. Yeah, we have a couple
never
favorites, too, who do good work.
Yeah, we're saying, carry that out. Talk more about that.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, it's, it's real-time news.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's got terrible side to it as well, but I do like the fact that if you want to go see in Los Angeles a show, that night, you can log in and find something in
seconds and go do it.
So
many positive things, but right. You say.
And one of those shows that you should definitely go see is the one we're talking about today, Attack of the Second Bananas, and you'll see Adam and Tim there along with a great cast at the Zephyr Theater in Hollywood. Just visit brownpapertickets.com and type that in.
And just a quick reminder, AOTSB is the discount code for
half-off
tickets.
Yes, very important. Half-off, folks.
Say that.
We're all looking for a bargain, right?
It's Attack of the Second Bananas. It's AOTSB, and that will get you half-off tickets.
Every performance?
Yeah, until the 31st.
Oh, fantastic.
AOTSB.
Correct.
AOTSB.
Say that four times real fast.
We should make a song out of it.
AOTSB. That's right. That should be the musical number that opens the show. We were talking the other day about airdropping stuff, and wouldn't it be cool to airdrop a program for a show to everybody in the audience? Say, hey, we're not going to put paper out there. We don't want to destroy the planet any more than we absolutely have to. Turn on your airdrop if you'd like the program for the show.
Yeah,
copyright Andrew David James today, right here, right now, because I want the money that's coming from. I think it's a brilliant idea. Save the planet. I mean, think of all the programs that get
tossed
away.
But then people would be on their phones during the show.
And yeah, I'm okay with that. For the first 10 minutes, it's like, hey, feel free, and then shut
it
down.
Put it away.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be a jerk and keep doing it, maybe we'll put, phone seats in the back or
and
something.
That person who likes to look at their playbill during the show.
That's right.
They can get one if they
That's
want.
Right. We have one available. We'll print it out for you now if you really need. I just thought that was a cool idea. We came up with that last week with our crew from last
that
week.
That is
which
a great
I
idea.
I like that idea.
I can't believe nobody's ever done it.
So. And then you could save it, so you have your merit. Because I have all these old playbills stacked. And
I know.
Yeah,
that'd
be great too.
Yeah, but that's something you can feel and you can touch you can remember in a different kind of way.
That's
I do too. I had hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me too?
Yeah.
got them framed in my, you know, from my early shows. I've got them framed up in my hallway.
Yeah.
But I think back to that. You can always print it off if you want to use it as decoration. But the idea of how many programs I see sitting at the lobby, you know, on the way out, because you've got to do a huge run just in case, you know, the audience needs them. That was interesting. Oh, no, gentlemen, I feel so sorry for you guys. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and
my goodness.
Now, embarrassing moments.
You thought you'd get away, but no, you couldn't talk us out of it.
I thought we were out of time.
Adam was talking really slow, trying to run out the clock. Not on this one, man. Here's what we're doing. A little bit of an embarrassing moment, something that happened in an audition or on stage or film that showed you that the show must go on no matter what. Anything like that, Tim?
Many times.
Every day of my life.
And every day of my life. Thank you. Yeah. No, you've seen me out in public. So when I moved here, not knowing anybody, and this was, you know, back in the day before GPS, and you had the Thomas guide and you had to look up where to go and cross the pages and all that. But I went to this audition. I don't even know where I found it, but it was for this late night infomercial, like a 5-minute infomercial. And I was like, well, I'll go. It was, you know, non-union. So I go into this room, and as I'm walking into audition, my knee hits the coffee table.
Oh,
and like food and drinks spill over, and the creator of this product, his wallet was on the the coffee table, and it fell over, and all his money and credit cards fell out. And I was like, oh my God. So I got down and I like picked it up. And I don't know what came over me, but
you stole his wallet, didn't you?
I took $20, and I had it, and I said, I will give it back when I get the part. I did the audition.
That was that improv training that works well in improv.
And I got the part.
Oh, that is awesome, ladies and gentlemen. That's fantastic. I love it.
And I gave the $20 back.
You did. That's great.
That is fantastic.
So being embarrassed does pay off at times.
That is great. So that's funny. And yet at the same time, that could have been terrible. Way to go for it, man.
It was real 50-50.
That's great. It could have gone terribly wrong.
It's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. Adam, what you got for us?
Yeah.
Okay, so since he told an audition-themed embarrassing moment, I'll tell one like that. I had an Attack of the Second Bananas-themed one, but I'll do this one. I thought about this today, actually, before I even knew I remembered how to do this. When I first moved here, a friend of mine said, do you need an agent? And I said, yeah. He was like, well, I'm going to set you up with my agency. And I'm not going to mention who they were this time. This story makes it more embarrassing. But he goes, so I was like, okay, yeah, I'd love that. Thank you. So the day of the meeting comes and he says, well, what are you going to wear? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, you need to wear this. And he pulls out this lime green Versace suit.
Wow.
And I wore it.
Wow.
I wore it. I don't know if he was trying to sabotage me or what.
If the part was the Riddler, you're golden. You know?
Just I was so green, no pun intended. And I wore this thing, not knowing any better. And I remember the feedback to my manager when she said, well, what did you think? And the agent said, he wore a lime green suit.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought about that today earlier. For some reason, I thought, why did I do that? Idiot. So it's great to just get it out there. Put it out there.
And yet at the same time, you're not with that agent anymore.
I never was with the agent.
You're getting a lot of work.
They did not sign me.
The joke ends up being on the agent. So that's pretty funny.
But you still have the suit.
No, it was his. I kicked him out of the apartment with the suit. Get out of here.
Pretty funny. Well, obviously, those kind of things.
It was Versace, you know? Versace.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And at least.
You got to look past the clothes sometimes. That's pretty
funny. It was neon lime green.
Well, real quick, we want to tell you again, the name of the show is Attack of the Second Bananas, and obviously a fun show, a comedy that's also a little bit of a mystery as well. You can go check it out now through March 31st at the Zephyr Theater in West Hollywood.
With a special discount code. Left for every performance through March 31st.
AOTSB.
Nice.
Very nice. Very
publicity
nice.
Men as well as actors. That's right. We should give them a little
bit
of applause.
Do that one more time. There you go.
AOTSB.
Command performance, ladies and gentlemen. Command performance.
We're here all night.
That's right. And that's the first act of the show.
Yes.
Gina's got to add that in here very quickly. Obviously, we want to get that promotional code out there. We want to get you to go see Attack of the Second Bananas because these two guys are hilarious. You're going to have a blast with them. Also, we want you to check out all the great shows
in Los
Angeles.
And they keep their clothes on during the performance.
Well, now nobody's going to go see it, man. That's the only reason. Is there nudity?
There's
could raise ticket prices
no
considerably.
Exactly.
You might try something new.
And you never know. Uh-uh.
Speaking of improv, that's right. When things go badly, just get naked.
Doesn't go well, and there are many.
You can also go check out some of the other great shows, including...
Well, Adam has a habit of shedding his shirt every once in a while, I think.
Whoa. Great radio.
Yeah. Well, sure. In this one, I am dressed to the gills.
Very nice. Very nice.
Sorry,
also,
Michael.
You can go check out the Los Angeles premiere of 50 Words by Michael Weller. It opens on March 1st, or it opened on March 1st at the Lounge Theater. Lots of other great shows you can check out at performingartslive.com. We'd also like to say a big thank you to both of the gentlemen for joining us today. Thanks, you guys. This was a blast.
Absolutely, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
I have to say a big thank you to our listeners who join us each week. We just passed our what download, Michael?
2 million.
Two million downloads.
Congrats.
That's right.
It's crazy, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
all from my mom and dad. So it worked out pretty nice, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty darn good. Obviously, lots of good theater out there. We mentioned the Pantages, but above all, go see a show. Get yourself out there. Support the live and performing arts here in Los Angeles.
Because you will never see, when you go to the theater, the performance you're seeing, you will never see that performance the same way again.
That's right. My name is Andrew David James.
I'm Michael Sterling, and where will I be seeing you next week?
I'll be right here, Michael, on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.